Parshas Lech Lecha. I'd like to share with you this evening, in the main, a maral. A piece of maral which, besides with the great genius of the maral, but it's also extremely, extremely fundamental in understanding the whole nature of Golus and Geula. Of Golus and Geula, and really that's what we're going to learn tonight. We'll learn the maral together, and then perhaps we'll just add a small addition at the end. By way of introduction, we find in this week's parasha in Lech Lecha a cataclysmic event. It's so important, this event, that it's going to really alter and shape the future of all history, and history for Klal Yisrael, and that is the event described in the Torah in Parashas Lech Lecha, the Bris Bein HaBsorim. Now, why is this event so important? Because in the Bris Bein HaBsorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicts to Avraham Avinu basically all of the future of Klal Yisrael. This is now mapping the path for all of Klal Yisrael's ups and all of their downs. So the bris is made, and all of a sudden, in Parashas Lech Lecha, Perek Tes Vov, Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, there was an emor, a fear, and a chashecha gedoila, a great darkness which fell upon Avraham Avinu. Why a darkness? Because as we know, darkness always represents Golus. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Avraham Avinu, either explicitly, or by way of remez, that Klal Yisrael are going to have to endure Golus throughout their history. And in fact, more than one. More than one. So the Torah writes as follows, and really we're going to be concentrating on just two words tonight. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer la'avrom yodoya teida. Now how do we always translate yodoya teida? Sounds like it's a repetition, tautologist. Yodoya teida means the same thing twice. So we traditionally translate it as you shall surely know. In other words, it's repeated for emphasis. But we'll see soon that there's a lot of meaning in the yodoya teida. But for the moment, let's translate it that way. You shall certainly know that your descendants will be a geir, the eretz loilohem, in a foreign land, and they're going to be subjugated for 400 years. And of course, this is now telling Avraham Avinu that your descendants are going to have to suffer the difficult golos in Mitzrayim. And everything that continues after that, it says they will be redeemed and they will leave with a lot of wealth. Chazal, in fact, tell us that not just Golos Mitzrayim, in fact, all of the different golosim were all hinted to by the various animals that were sacrificed and cut in half in the Bris Bein HaBsorim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly telling Avraham Avinu, again, specifically and explicitly about Golos Mitzrayim, but also all of the Golos that are going to befall Klal Yisrael. So those are the two words that we said we're going to look at, Yodoya Teda. So the Medrash says as follows. We have to listen very carefully now. Yodua, or Yodoya, you should know, Shani Mefazron. What does Mefazron mean? I'm going to scatter and disperse Klal Yisrael. Teda, you should also know, Shani Machnison. I once again bring them back together. So Yodoya Teda, in the opinion of the Medrash, doesn't just mean you shall surely know. Rather, it's referring to two different things. Yodoya, you shall know that I will scatter them. Teida, you shall know also that I will bring them back together. The Medrash then continues. Yodoya, you should know, Shani Mamashkanon. What's a mashkan? A collateral. I borrow somebody money. What I'm going to give him? So I'll take off my watch and I'll leave it in his house for a month. Klal Yisrael, so too, will also be mashkened. But, Teida, you shall know, Shani Poirikon, I will eventually redeem them.
Second thing.
Third thing. Yodaya, you should know, Shani Meshabdom, I will subjugate them. Teida Shani Goyalom. But you should know there'll be a Geula as well. Now this is a very, very important medrash. Yodaya Teida therefore means not just the same thing repeated twice for emphasis, rather you shall know on one hand there'll be a Golus, on the other there'll be a Geula. Yodaya, I will scatter them, but I will bring them back. Yodaya, I will make them a mashkin, but I'll bring them back. Yodaya, you should know that I will subjugate them, but I will redeem them. And of course, the big question that we need to examine is, of course, what are these three different concepts? Wouldn't it have been sufficient to say, Yodaya, you should know that what? There's going to be a golus. Don't worry, there'll also be a geula. I'd like to add another question, which the Maral doesn't so much ask, but we'll see through the Maral it'll become answered. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yodaya Teda, you should know they're going to end up in Mitzrayim. Now, if we were to ask ourselves, is that a pasuk that foretells Golos or Geula? It doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk anything about Geula. Not in that pasuk. What does it say? They're going to end up in Mitzrayim. That's Golos. And yet, in those very words, Yodaya Teda, the Medrash somehow saw not only Golos, but also Geula. Isn't that a little bit strange? In that very pasuk, it says, Yodaya Teda, you should know that your descendants will end up in Mitzrayim. The Medrash says, Yodaya Teda means, I will also redeem them from Mitzrayim. Where is that alluded to in that pasuk? So this is going to be the big yesod of the Maral, and that's why it's going to be so crucial to understand. Apparently, the Medrash is teaching us, in Golos, you see Geula. In Golos, you can see the Geula. If Golos and Geula are two separate entities, then how can you possibly translate your Doya Teda as a reference to the Golos and also the Geula? The Geula has nothing to do with the Golos. Apparently that's not true. Apparently when HaKadosh Baruch Hu foretells the Golos, inherent in that is the Geula as well. So let's now learn the Maral together. It's a phenomenal Maral. This Maral, if anybody wants to look at it inside, is the very first perek in his sefer called Netzach Yisrael. Netzach Yisrael is a sefer which basically deals in its entirety with Golos and Geula. And the Maral says as follows, and he introduces, and I'd like to read some of his words. Ein sofik, says the Maral, there is no doubt. Ki ha-golos hu shinui, is a deviation v'yetzia min ha-seida. The Maral already blitzes us with his enormous yesod over here. There's a seder. The world has rules. The world has rules. There's nature. The world is not just some haphazard place where random things happen. Everything has a seder. Golos is an exiting of seder. It's a deviation of seder. Why is it a deviation of seder? So he explains. But to listen very carefully, it's profound, but it's fundamental. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, organized that one of the rules of civilization is every nation lives in their country. So the Brits live in Britain, and the Americans live in America, and the Spaniards live in Spain. That is the Seder. That's the Seder Ha'olam. Says the Maral, Golos min Mekayimom, if all of a sudden I find that the Spaniards are in Britain, the Brits are in America, and the Americans are in Spain, they're not in their natural land. That's a shinui from the Seder Ha'olam. That's unnatural. That's not Teva. That's unnatural. That's a shino min yitzia min ha'olam. A shinui from the Seder Ha'olam. Now, says the Maral, a rule. A rule of nature is that when anything ever deviates from its natural course, by definition, it must eventually be restored back to its natural course. By definition, it cannot be otherwise. And the way the Maharal writes it in his own wonderful Nusach, he says, why must that be the case? Because if it would remain in its unnatural state, well, it's no longer unnatural, it's then become natural. So it can't be. And he gives examples. He says, for example, the nature of fire, as we know, flames always rise. Now, you can artificially, as it were, try and curb the flames. You can suppress them. But that doesn't become the natural state of the fire. And the proof of the pudding is, you then take off the lid and the flames will once again rise. So when I see flames being suppressed, that's a shinu, that's a deviation from nature. But you know that by definition, when I see flames that are suppressed, what do I see in there? I see flames that are about to rise. It must be that way, it cannot be any other way. Therefore, if we have a rule of nature, that every nation has its own land, then if I one day see a nation find itself in a different land, then I know two things. What two things do I know? Number one, that that's unnatural. And number two, that it has to be restored and they'll eventually end up in their original land. That's the Yesod of the Maharal. Says the Maharal, therefore, Klal Yisrael's, where is their natural place? There is only one natural place for Klal Yisrael, and that is Eretz Yisrael. If ever and whenever you see Klal Yisrael out of Eretz Yisrael, you have to realize that's a deviation from nature. That's unnatural. So again, if you ever see Klal Yisrael out of Eretz Yisrael, you know two things. What is Klal Yisrael doing in Bavel? So number one, you know that this Golus is unnatural. But you also know by definition that they must be heading back to Eretz Yisrael. It cannot be any other way. The Maharal continues, and the Maharal says, I'll tell you now a second reason why Golus is unnatural. The first reason why Golus is unnatural, as we said, because there's a rule of nature, or a rule of Seder HaOlam, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the world, that you have your natural place. If you end up in your unnatural place, then that indeed is unnatural. But there's a second reason. There's a rule of nature, says the Maharal, that every single entity must by definition be one. And if you ever see it broken into pieces, then that's unnatural. And you know that it must therefore be restored to one. Otherwise it's not a single unit. Klal Yisrael is a klal. They're a solitary, single unit. So when I see Klal Yisrael scattered around the world, what do I know? Unnatural. I don't see over here the singularity, the unity of Klal Yisrael. So again, I see two things. I see the unnatural state of Klal Yisrael, but I also know that what must happen, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to bring them back to become one. Because if they remain scattered, then the unnatural has become the natural, and that can't be. Says the Maharal, third and final reason why Golos is unnatural. Besides for the fact that you're not in your homeland, besides for the fact that you're not a single unity, there's another Seder HaOlam, another way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed the Bria, and that is, the rule of the world and civilization is every nation has jurisdiction over themselves. The Brits are in charge of the Brits. The Americans are in charge of the Americans, and the Spaniards are in charge of the Spaniards. And if ever you see one nation having jurisdiction over another, that's unnatural. That's unnatural, because that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the Seder HaOlam. By the way, in parenthesis, Maharal discusses there as an exception to this rule, Klal Yisrael sometimes has jurisdiction over all other nations. That is natural, because they're a superior nation. We're not getting involved with that for the moment. So if I see Klal Yisrael exiled, and I see that there are now Goyim who have jurisdiction over Klal Yisrael, Once again, what must I see?
It's unnatural. That's not normal.
That's a deviation from normality. But at the same time, what do I see? That it must be restored. Now listen to the absolute genius of the Maharal. The Maharal tells you, therefore, in summary, there are three separate reasons why Klal Yisrael in Golos is unnatural. Number one, because they're not in their homeland. They must come back to their homeland. Number two, because they're scattered all around and they are no longer one. They're going to have to become one. Number three, because they haven't got jurisdiction over their own fate, over their own existence, they're going to have to get back their own jurisdiction. Says the Maharal, all of that is hinted to in the Medrash that we began with. Yodoya Teza. What did we ask before? Why can't the Medrash just say Yodoya? I know there'll be a Golos, there'll also be a Gula. Why must there be three examples? Let's learn the Medrash again. You'll fall off your seats. Says the Medrash, Yodoya She'anim Fazron. You should know I will scatter them. That was one of the unnaturalities. Is this true word? We'll just be machadish word. That is one of the reasons why Golos is unnatural, because there's a pizur, because the singular entity of Klal Yisrael has now become a multiple entity. That can't be. So what does the Medrash say? Yodoya Shani Mefazron. You shall know that what? That I'll scatter them. Tedash, I mean Mechanson. But know that I'll bring them back together. That was the first point. Yodoya, you should know, Sha'anim Mashkanon. Now what happens when I have a Mashkan? What's the problem with a Mashkan? What's unnatural about the Mashkan? I have a watch, and where is it sitting at the moment? It's not in my house, it's in the wrong place. That's the second point. Klal Yisrael again end up in the wrong place. But don't worry. Teidash ani poikon, I will bring them back to their homeland. Thirdly, we said there's another reason why it's unnatural. You have to have jurisdiction over yourselves. Yodoyash ani mshabdon, they're going to be servants. They're going to be enslaved. That's unnatural. Don't worry. Teidash ani goyalon, I will redeem them and eventually they will have jurisdiction over themselves. So the Maharal says, these crucial words. The Maharal is teaching us a phenomenal principle of it. Golos is unnatural for three reasons. You're not in your homeland, you're no longer a singular entity, and you don't have jurisdiction over yourselves. But inherent in Golos is Gula. Because if you see something which is unnatural, you know it has to spring back to its natural state. Like we said before, if I see flames which are being stifled, you know they have to once again rise up. If I see an elastic band which is only 10 centimeters long and I see it stretched, I know one thing, that's not its natural state. So as long as you hold it like that, it'll sit like that. If you let go, it'll spring straight back. It must be that way. Inherent in Golos is Gula, and that therefore answers our other question. We said, one moment, this is a pasuk that's dealing entirely with Golos. Yodoya Teda, you should know that your descendants are going to end up Mitzrayim. So where did the Medrash see in that pasuk a reference to Gola? And the answer is because you cannot have one without the other. When I see Golos, I see also Gola. When you see the unnatural, you therefore see that the natural must be restored, as the Maharal writes it. Otherwise, the unnatural has become the natural, and that can't be. The aside, and this is one of the nekudos that the Maharal therefore is coming to express in his words, Be'elu gimel dvorim, therefore in these three nekudos, shemin ha-golos, through the golos, yochel lamoid ala gula, that's where you see the gula. One of those three points, specifically, the Maharal says, is bringing back the unity of Klal Yisrael. Pizur, they're scattered out, that's unnatural. the natural state of Klal Yisrael is to be a single, solitary unit. And he says, that's why, what's the difference between the word Golos and Geula? Golos, Golo, Gimel, Lamed, Hey. Geula is Gimel, Aleph, Lamed. There's only one difference, the Aleph or the Hey. In Geula, there's an Aleph in the middle. Aleph is singularity. That's what Geula is all about, bringing back singularity. He says in conclusion, there's many other points, but just one more that we'll mention, because this is very timely. Rochel Imenu's Yahrzeit. Tomorrow, I believe. On Shabbos. Tomorrow night. Chazal tell us that Rochel Imenu was not buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rather, in Beis Lechem, on the way, so that when Klal Yisrael are in Golos, and they're returning from Golos, they will stop by her kever, they will daven, and in her zechus, Klal Yisrael will come back. B'derech Ephros. So he explains, Rochel is called in Chazal the Akeres Habayis. The wife of Yaakov is called the Akeres Habayis. What's Habayis? Habayis is the unifying factor of all the components therein. Imagine you see in the middle of a street a bed, and next to it a wardrobe, and a bit further on a fridge, and then a table and chairs. What is that? That's just a haphazard disarray, a random collection of items. Build a house around it, it's become a home. Suddenly, it's not a random fridge, it's not a random bed, it's not a random wardrobe. These are all components in a singular item of a bias. A bias is the ma'achid, is what unifies all the components within it. The aside of Golos is, as we said, pizur. Scattered, that's unnatural. But what is Geula with the Aleph in the middle? Bring them back to becoming once again a solitary entity. And therefore, Rochel, who is the bias of Klal Yisrael, is her zechus that will bring about the Geula. Ad kan divrei Amaral. He carries on there, but it's absolutely mind-blowing. Now, I'll tell you a little secret. When I email the notes of the shir to Rabbanah and others, so I had a friend in London to whom I emailed the notes as well, a very close friend of mine, Yehuda Wittenberg. So he wrote back to me this afternoon, and he said to me that he attends Shiurim of Rabbi Hartman. Rabbi Yeshua Hartman is world famous. He is the one who's brought out all the Sforim of the Maharal. I think he's written about 43 volumes so far. He lives in London. So he said, I've heard this Maharal quoted from Rabbi Hartman many times, and Rabbi Hartman makes the following addition. The Maharal taught us that Golos is unnatural for three reasons. You're not in your homeland, you're scattered into different pieces, and you don't have jurisdiction over yourselves. And Geula is the opposite of all three. So apparently he added, all of that is hinted to in a bracha we say every day. Taka b'shefer godayu l'cheiruseinu. This is the bracha of Geula. Taka b'shefer godayu l'cheiruseinu. What's cheirus? Freedom. In other words, we should have jurisdiction over ourselves. V'sa'neis l'kabeit goluyoseinu. We should no longer be exiled in a different land. V'kapseinu yachad. And now bring us back also into a solitary entity. Me'arba kanfes ha'oretz. So all three nekudas are mentioned here in the bracha. The fact that we are going to end up in Cheirus, as opposed to being Avodim. The fact that the Sonei Sekabitz Guliyesenu will no longer be exile, will be in our homeland. And the Kapseinu Yachad will once again become Yachad, become a solitary unit, rather than being Mispazo all around the world. Phenomenal pshat in the Brooklyn. The words of the Maharal speak for themselves, and that's why this Maharal is so important to understand. That's really, therefore, what was going on in the Bris Bein Habesorim. The Bris Bein Habesorim wasn't all about doom and gloom. It was going to be a Golos, but understand that inherent in the Golos is the Geula also, because Golos is unnatural. So I'd like to make, if I may, one small addition to this Maharal. The Maharal has taught us a phenomenal yesod, which we have to understand and realize and live with, that Golus is unnatural. Golus is unnatural. If we can just perhaps add an extra stage to this Maharal, and that is how crucial it is that we realize that Golus is unnatural. Because the problem is that sometimes we become all too comfortable in Golus to the point that we now think that this is normal. Golus is normal. If you remember, we once told over a moshel. I actually had this moshel from a mashkiach in England, who is now currently the mashkiach in the Gates of Yeshiva, Rabbi Gershon Miller, Shlita. And he said a very powerful moshel. We discussed this when we were talking about pre-Tisha B'Av days. The moshel, he said, it was a lengthy moshel, I just want to say it because sorry. The moshel of a prince in a palace who's not behaving like a prince. He's not behaving like a prince. And eventually the king tells him, you're going to have to leave the palace because you're not behaving like a prince, and therefore you can't live in the house of the prince. And this prince is more than happy. Wonderful. I feel so stifled in the palace. Got to live the lofty life. I'm more than happy to live a street life. And he finds himself caught up in a rough and tough band of street livers. And he says, this is the life. Oh, eventually, break all the shackles. This is always the life I've wanted to live. Unbeknown to the prince, although he'd been expelled from the palace, but the king had sent a shliach to track him, just to see how he's getting along. And he says to the shliach, I want to hear reports about my son, the prince. He gets caught up with this rough and tough group, and it comes the first night, and he says to this group, so, one second, fellas, where are we sleeping tonight? He says, where? We sleep rough. We sleep in the forest. He says, but I can't sleep in the forest. I'm a prince. I can't sleep in the forest. And they tell him, well, listen, as long as you're with us, this is where we're sleeping. And anyway, he asks, he says, I'm starving, hungry. What are we eating? And they pull out from their pockets a dry, black piece of bread. I should eat that. I'm a prince. I can't eat stale bread. I want proper food, meat. He said, oh, we can get meat for you. Oh, really? Let's get meat. How do we get meat? He says, we go down to the farm in the middle of the night and we steal some chickens. He says, I can't steal. I'm a prince. A prince can't steal. And the shliach reports this back to the king. And the king sends for the son and he says to the son, you can now come back to the palace. Because you've realized in Golus what you didn't realize in Geula. You've realized this is not normal for you. This is unnatural for you. That's not how our prince behaves. You don't sleep in the street. You don't steal chickens and you don't have black bread. As long as you don't realize that and you think that this is normal, then you can't come back. That's what the Maharal is teaching us. You have to realize that Golus is unnatural. We've mentioned in the past many times the chilling, chilling, chilling words of the Meshech Chochma. The Heilige Oysomeach wrote in Parashas Bechukosai, and he wrote this in the 1920s, a decade or so before all the lights got turned out in Europe. And he writes the famous words. There are some people, he writes, Yachshoy, who think that Berlin, he Yerushalayim. Staggering words to write. That's what he writes. There are some people who think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. What could be better? Bonnie Berlin. Our wonderful hosts, the Germans. The cutting edge of culture and fashion and education. Some people think that Berlin is Yerushalayim, which can equally be translated as some people think that London is Yerushalayim, Paris is Yerushalayim, New York is Yerushalayim, and you know something? Tragically, we could really add that some people think that Yerushalayim is Yerushalayim, but it isn't. What the Meshech Chachma is really telling us is that there are some people who think that Berlin is in Yerushalayim. Do you know why they think Berlin is in Yerushalayim? Why do they think Berlin is Yerushalayim? Because they didn't understand the Yesod of the Maharal. Berlin is unnatural. That's not normal. That's not where we belong. And if you think that Berlin is in Yerushalayim, then you haven't understood the whole Yesod of the Bris Ben Absorim. The whole Yesod of the Bris Ben Absorim is that Golus is unnatural. That's abnormal. This is not the way it should be. And if you think that Berlin is in Yerushalayim, then you can't come back. Because as far as you're concerned, you're in your natural place, and there's nothing missing. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He brings a very painful reminder in which 6 million of our brethren had to be killed out to be reminded that this is not natural. This is not normal. Berlin is not Yerushalayim at all. This is the Yisrael of the Maral, and that's why the Maral is so crucial. And that's what the Maral is teaching us in the Bris Ben Absorim. Yodoya Teida, he says. Golus is unnatural. Inherent in that, and he points this out by the way, is that Teida is in future tense. That's the way it will be eventually. Eventually you'll come back and it has to be that way. But there's a T'nai. What's the precondition? The precondition in the Teida is that Yodoya, know well, understand that Golus is unnatural. It's abnormal. That's not the way it should be. If you think that Klal Yisrael are supposed to be in Berlin, if you think Klal Yisrael are supposed to be scattered around the globe, if you think that Klal Yisrael are not supposed to have their own jurisdiction, then realize that's abnormal. That's not the Seder HaOlam. As the Maral really began his words, Ein Sofik, that Golus is a shinui, it's a deviation from the Seder HaOlam. If we understand the principle, and we're not chas v'shalom guilty of thinking that Berlin is in Yerushalayim, is in fact Yerushalayim, we understand the Yodoya, that Golus is unnatural, then eventually we can be zeicha to the Teida, to all the words of the Medrash, that the Medrash says, Yodoya shani porkon, Yodoya shani goyalon, may it indeed be the Meher Yomein Amen.